Thank you for listening to this special edition of the 8-Bit Geek. This is 8-Bit Horror Fest. We're back, bitches.
2022!
There it is. I was like, someone say something. it's Kev and I and guests, if they decide to talk or not. We have some people here. If you're gonna chime in, just go and say your name so they know who the fuck is talking.
True.
It's Ryan.
Right. Oh, God, everybody at once. So we got Ryan and
Brendan here.
Brendan is here, and Daniel Chubb Nasty is here also.
My name is Caleb.
His name is famous Caleb.
Caleb. So last year for Horror Fest, we did the Nick Cage-a-thon, and it fucking was the best thing we've ever done. And when we were doing that, we watched a movie called Color Out of Space. Not Colorado Space, but Color Out of Space. And
triggered.
And I was inspired to watch more Lovecraftian sort of, I don't know, eldritch horror, cosmic horror sort of movies. So that is what we're doing this year. We are watching things that are kind of inspired by Lovecraft or kind of feel like Lovecraft. And that brings us to our first movie, the one we just finished watching. And that was a movie called Annihilation.
Yes. So good.
The synopsis for the movie from IMDb just says a biologist signs up for a dangerous, secretive expedition into a mysterious zone where the laws of nature don't apply. It has a 6.8 on IMDb and a 79 on Metacritic. Came out in 2018. Stars Natalie Portman and
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah.
Tessa Thompson, Benedict Wong, Oscar Isaac. I mean, this is the darkest MCU movie we've had so far.
Yeah, no shit. Once they put Jennifer Jason Leigh into the MCU, just about everybody in here will have been in there, I guess. And what was the Gonzalez? What was her name? It doesn't matter. But
let's see here. That was,
I think it was Gonzalez. That could be
Gina
Rodriguez. I knew there was a G name, and I was like, it's going to be your last name, Gonzalez. No, Gina Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's in a Marvel title yet, but it's just a matter of time.
Everyone ends up in a Marvel title at some point. Yep.
I mean, we also got the Silver Surfer there at the end, so
yeah. Seriously, it really, man, yeah, man, this is a star-studded movie.
So let's just talk about the movie a little bit. It is a sci-fi horror film, I guess you could say. It's about, so like, a meteor crashes on Earth and it starts changing the world around it. There is like a barrier between like our Earth and this area, which they call Area X, or sometimes they just call it the Shimmer. There's a group that are sent in. It's what, four or five women. What's interesting is that they talk about a little bit more in the book, which there is a trilogy that this movie's based on called Area X, the Area X trilogy. The first one is called Annihilation, and then was it Authority after that, Ryan? Yeah. Do you remember?
Yep, Authority and Acceptance.
Yes, and this movie really just follows Annihilation. They kind of wrote this movie to be a one-off movie. It doesn't really feel like they're going to do a trilogy with it. I don't know what they would do next. I mean, I guess they could do the other books, but this one just felt kind of just like a one and done. It did not feel like they were really leaving anything open to do more. I mean, they could, just knowing the books, but...
Right.
But in the books, they kind of explain, we were watching that there's like a point where they go in and they all have like rifles, and they're like, no, they would have, like, there was no training. Like, you know, they said that it was going to be 6 days before they go in. There's no way they're going to be handing them assault, you know, rifles after 6 days. And in the book, they talk about how Natalie Portman's character, which is the biologist in the book, I forget her name in the movie, was with them for like 6 months. Yeah, Lena was doing like 6 months of training and stuff before actually entering into Area X.
Also found it funny. Maybe they were in Texas. They were just like, all right, you're 18. You have a gun here. Don't know how to use them. Don't worry. Well, you have 6 days to train you. You only need 40 minutes.
Pretty much, right? Yeah, just go to a single day gun training seminar and you'll get a license. That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do.
That's the end the bullets come out of. Try not to be in front of it.
Pretty much. Which, I liked that in the movie, there's a couple times when they come across some creatures that have been like changed and mutated by whatever this is, a virus or a new, species sort of thing being introduced to Earth. And it's changing the world around. Like I said, like when they have to go shoot, the way that like Natalie Portman just drops to a knee, you know, and starts shooting, and they're all like, whoa. Who taught you how to shoot? Oh, I was in the army first. You know, it was one of those like that, because I guess she didn't go flailing that gun around like a mad person. She, you know, they were all like, oh, who taught you how to shoot? Where'd you learn how to do that?
Call of Duty. I've got like 3 days logged in that game, man.
I'm 100th prestige.
That's how Natalie Portman trains.
Hers is actually gold skinned.
Yeah, she got the diamonds. Yeah, because she maxed out her class or whatever.
She teabags the monster.
Oh my god. The monster is
a time crisis guy.
It's for the gun, just because the way the gun claps more back.
Yeah, so the movie begins and we meet Portman, who's being interrogated right off the bat. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, hey, how long? You were in there for 4 months. How long did it feel like to you? And she's like, oh, just a couple of days. And then we kind of flash back to her at home. And she's like being, I don't know, she's a biology teacher talking about cancer and how it spreads and all this stuff. And she's invited somewhere and she's like, I can't go. And they're like, you know, dude, your husband's in Denver here. They're not that callous about it, but they're like,
yeah,
like, yo, you know, at some point, you know, you can go out. It's fine. And she's like, no, I'm going to paint the bedroom. And while she's painting the bedroom, her husband appears, who has been missing for a year at this point. We don't really know much about him other than, I guess, that he's military and that he took some mission and never came home.
And she believes it was because she cheated on him, right? That's why she's like, thinks it was some suicide mission, or she thinks he's gone. She never like really thought he was dead, but she definitely knew he was not coming back.
Yeah.
They never really make it clear with the whole infidelity storyline when that happens.
Yeah, I guess they don't think that until later on. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was so late in the movie. Yeah, it was really a weird point because I don't remember that in the book at all. And also, like, why? I guess to try to make her seem like she's beating herself up over him not coming back instead of her just being like sad that her husband might have died out in the field. Like, that to me by itself is believable. Like, you have a grief stricken like spouse. Like, that, okay. Sure. Like, yeah, he was on some top secret mission and like he didn't hear about it or whatever. Like, he's missing in action, so we're not going to say that he's dead. We don't know where the fuck he is, you know, but after a year, you assume. Like, I don't know, that to me by itself is fine. I don't know why you have to add in the whole infidelity aspect to it.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Gotta sex it up for Hollywood, man.
Yeah, they just wanted to show Natalie Portman porking some dude.
This is a Weinstein film?
Back action.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there's like somewhere like unused cuts of her just like shaking her back around, and they're like, do it more spine stuff.
We need to see your spine shoulders more. Into it.
Spine stuff.
Put your shoulders into it.
So he shows up, he starts to dive. They take him in an ambulance. they immediately get surrounded by the government. Like, I mean, just when there's helicopters and like unmarked black SUVs involved, mm-hmm. shit's going south bad. And she wakes up at the Southern Reach. She kind of finds out what the Southern Reach is doing with the whole Area X, and her husband was a part of that group, and it's expanding. And then she kind of gets the rundown of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And she joins up because I don't know why. I mean,
I think she wanted to learn more about what happened to her husband, really.
Yeah. And then that's where the movie kind of kicks off. We're introduced to the rest of the cast and them going into Area X, and shit from there gets pretty goddamn wild. It mm-hmm. does not take long.
Yeah, Jennifer nope. Jason Leigh is quite the setup. She Dr. Ventress. Yeah.
Also really interesting. So in the book, which I know is unfair to keep comparing it to the book, but like the psychologist, her character uses like not mind control. It's not mind control, but like what do you call it? Oh my gosh. Hypnosis. Yes.
Hypnotherapy.
Yeah, they do. Part of their training is these sessions with her where she like programs trigger words for them to like do whatever she says and to follow her lead without any sort of like thought about it. Like just, oh, she's right. We got to do what she says.
And that's in the book that they did not include in the movie.
Correct.
Okay.
So when,
so
when
I'm like, first, I don't remember that happening at all.
Yeah, it's in the book. And so that's what I'm saying is like it that first time when they're like, do you guys remember setting up camp? Like we're missing like 3 days worth of food rations. Like what happened? And they kind of show her and I was like, oh shit. Okay. So we are doing the hypnosis thing. Like they blacked that out. They were under some sort of command from her to do these things and they don't remember it now that they've woken up. And they never fucking talk about it. So I was like, I don't, what does that mean? I don't, that was a weird, like.
I think they're attributing it to Area X in the movie.
Right. And going through and, you know, basically sleeping 3 days away of having their DNA altered, could be.
Yeah.
And not even sleeping because they set up camp. And they had several days worth of rations missing.
Mm-hmm. It's just cheap to leave the question unanswered than to shoot those scenes.
Yeah, it's just there's parts of the story also where when the biologist or Lena or whatever her name is in the movie, like when her in the book anyways, when her DNA starts to be changed, she stops being like able to be hypnotized. Like the keywords and stuff, like annihilation, I believe is one of them. Stop working for her. And so she starts to see, like, she pretends for a while that, like, oh, yeah, I'm totally hypnotized, just like the rest of them, doing everything they're doing, following, you know, but, like, it's not working on her. And that helps later because there's like, a confrontation between her and the psychologist that, again, does not happen in the movie at all. So I just thought it was really interesting that they, like, felt like they introduced it and then cut it out entirely. And maybe just for pacing or whatever, they're just like, it's not worth it. But like, yeah, ooh, it adds to the eeriness of Area X by leaving this 3 day gap where no one remembers anything.
Mm-hmm.
But she had such a smug fucking look on her face.
I would have loved to have seen that story play out, but that would have padded the runtime by an extra 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Not long after that, we're introduced to our first monstery thing. It was an alligator, but Daniel called it. I think a sharkagator, what'd you call
shark.
It?
So I said I want to call it a sharkadile, but it's an alligator,
shark. Yeah.
I mean, we could make a good case for the fact that it's by the ocean that it could be a crocodile, so I choose to call it a sharkadile.
Sharkadile.
Well, what's down in Florida, because that's where this takes place.
Gators and crocodiles. There are some crocodiles down there. Not that big, though, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, that's a big
one. Well, but it's also been altered, right? So it could be.
Ain't no Cuban crocodile, I'll tell you that.
So wait, you're telling me there's parts of Florida that have bears and crocodiles?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Fuck me, dude. That's a wild lady
got killed swimming by a crocodile, a Cuban crocodile, like 2 or 3 years ago.
But yeah, she was running from a bear.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, where does the bear come in? The bear tried to
fight
off the crocodile?
There are bears in the Everglades, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking wild. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to travel more.
Florida is like America's attempt at being Australia, where everything wants to kill you.
Yeah.
including the weather,
including the governor.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Hey, yo,
topical.
I have in my notes, alligator, just exclamation point, and then the next note, that damn maw is scary as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Because it opens its mouth and it almost has like just rings of teeth, like, and not like a normal alligator, but like even like down its throat, it just looks. I mean, unless alligators have, they don't have teeth like that. Like, I don't.
Imagine the fleshlight of nightmares.
Oh my god.
Wow. I'd prefer not to, thanks.
Yeah.
This was not a Clive Barker movie.
No. Yeah, and then they ditch where they're going. They end up at the old Southern Reach thing, and then they find a tape of Oscar Isaac's character and his crew that had gone in before them. And one of the most brutal fucking scenes I've seen in a movie, like, that was fucking rough. Yeah. Is him cutting the stomach open of one of his crewmates, or whatever you're gonna call him. And what you think you're looking at is intestines, but it looks like a snake,
yeah,
like a giant snake is wrapped up.
I think eels, yeah.
Yeah, have like wrapped themselves around like his core, and are just, it's just these sliding, moving, tubular grossness. Yeah, and like it's rough.
It's my favorite scene of the movie, personally.
It looks like how my stomach feels when I eat Taco Bell.
Yeah, yeah, that's me and Chipotle every time, and I keep going back, and I so. But yeah, it was fucking visceral. Like, yeah. That was.
And he even reaches in and you could see it kind of like sliding through his hand. Like, it's kind of fucked up, man. Like, the effects crew for that deserve a pat on the back. Yeah, that was really good.
This movie looked beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it was gross.
There was a couple of times where I was like, okay, CG, CG. And that was one where I was like, okay, it's probably CG, however they're doing it. But I also am not sure, because that looked.
I know.
Yeah, you watch the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, that whole scene is practical.
Jesus,
awesome. No,
the whole thing. Yeah,
wow.
The worst effect in that movie is the actual shimmer effect around the park. Everything else looks great.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I don't necessarily even think that it's bad. I just think that we know that it's unnatural. Like, it's monsters and stuff we can get away with. Because they do a lot of practical effects. Like, it's very clear that, like, the bear head was real. Yeah. Or, like, practical. Mm-hmm. And the alligator head and stuff. But the alligator charging stuff. But when we see light and stuff like that done in a way like that, you know it's not real. And so I think that's what makes it look cheesy. Is that it's an uncanny valley thing with light that we don't see a whole lot of in movies.
Well, also, all the shots that featured it looked like the exposure was turned up, so you couldn't see anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to hide the fact that it didn't look good. I don't know. That's, like, the only part of the movie that I thought, like, the rest of the movie is just, like, fucking chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real Last of Us vibes.
Visual look. Yeah. But the, just that sequence when they're showing the externals of the building and, like, the shimmer and, like, the outside. Like, it just doesn't look, it doesn't match, like, the rest of the movie with it looks tight and well thought out and put together. It looks like, it's like, fuck, what are you going to do? I don't know. Turn up the exposure really high and, like, do some CG goop. Yeah. You know? I don't know. I'm just going to pick. Don't mind me.
But to just go along, I mean, along with, like, just the cool, like, practical effects and things like that, not long after that, they then find that dude's body in, like, the pool in the building they're in. And that was, I mean, this is the part where I feel like, because we saw the alligator and obviously it's changed, the plant life has changed. We saw some like weird frog tadpole things that were, or shrimps. I'm not really sure what the fuck they were. I think that's the point, is that you're not really supposed to know what they are. You know, all these things that look unnatural, but then we see this dead body and like, it is like sprouted.
Full plant.
It is like spread out and like the body is all distorted and pulled along with it, and it's just the skeleton. Yeah,
the upper torso is like 5 feet above the lower torso, separated at the waist.
Yeah.
And the head is like stretched out and like the jaw is pulled off of the head, and it's very Last of Us.
Yes.
Very
much so.
Yeah. And it just, I feel like this is when the movie kind of takes, I mean, it's been eerie up to the point, but this is where it takes it. That scene with the shot footage and this is where it kind of takes it into like the shit serious. Like this is scarier than just like monsters and stuff, right? Like this happened to someone's body. Almost body horror. I guess the gut part was definitely body horror.
Oh yeah.
You know, I was thinking about that, the scene before that when they find all their gear. They find the machine gun and they're like, oh, this is cool, I'm gonna use this, and then they don't ever mention it again.
Well, yep. She then says, oh, this is it's too heavy to too carry. Heavy. Oh, and yeah. She puts it down.
Oh, that's fair. I guess I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. And then that night, one of them gets dragged off by a bear thing. Pretty not anticlimactic, because you don't really get to see the bear at this point. It just something comes out of the darkness and just bites her in the shoulder and then drags her away.
Yeah. Oof. You do get to see like a peek of it once it gets far away, but that was about mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, like in the darkness, just kind of like a, yeah, you know it's a bear. But not, I mean, not the detail we get of it later.
Oh, I'm looking at some concept art. It was originally going to be a boar, like a fucking pig monster.
It was a boar in the book.
Man, bear, pig.
Mm-hmm. Here's, I'm going to send some copy art to the Discord or some, I'm going to copy this concept art.
Oof.
That's gnarly.
Yeah, it's a boar in the book. Yeah. In fact, like when the alligator scene, I'm pretty sure like that's like in the book the first time they come across the boar. Like they see it in the distance and it just fucking charges them from like a mile away. They're literally just standing there like they're just watching it run at them for like forever. It's like, okay, here it comes. And then, like, at the last minute, it just darts off to the side. It just veers off.
Wow.
They're like, okay, all right. Terrifying. Eventually, they end up in, like, a house, and the paramedic amongst their group, it was Gina Rodriguez.
Anya.
Loses her goddamn mind. She, like, kidnaps the three of them. Although, I mean, I don't know. She ties them all to like chairs and like knocks them all over the head with her gun and like is screaming at them, because at this point they've already started talking about how like things are being altered and their DNA is being altered, and it just like she's off. I mean, she's not wrong, but she's also like handling it very badly.
Yeah, she's denying everything. She was like, it's a trick of the light. That's how you saw that guy's guts move. It's like, what? How do you trick light then?
We watched them slither, dude.
Yeah. Like,
but then when they're in the house, they show her looking at her hand. And then when she's losing her shit, she talks mm-hmm. about how she could see her fingerprints moving.
Yeah.
And if you tied her up and cut her open, would her insides move like that guy's were?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, yeah, she just broke down. Like, she's had a mental breakdown. Like, she knows what she saw, and she can't deny it anymore. And, like, she knows that she's changing, so she just loses her shit. And then the bear fucking shows up again. Like,
yeah.
Not only that, we hear the chick who got dragged away from the bear earlier,
Cass,
calling out for help from outside, at which point Crazy Chick runs out to save her, and
you just hear like a
then you hear a bear roar.
Yeah. And then the bear come in. So you're like,
and
oh,
it, while it's stalking around the room, it is making human noises.
Mm-hmm.
It's imitating like human cries.
Like a freaking skinwalker.
Yeah, Doug has sent this lovely nightmare fuel to the Discord that is a picture of the bear close up, and there is a human skull and eye that, like, the skull is coming out of, like, where the bear's ear would be, and the eye shares the same socket with the bear. And it's terrifying.
Uh-huh. And you can see it in the mouth because it's kind of got a row of human teeth inside as well, it looks like, as well as the row on top. So that's the thing. Like, again, in the book, they talk about how they see a creature that has the face of the lighthouse keeper. And that's another part that's completely written out of the movie, which is fine because it really don't go into that much depth about that until like book 2 and 3. So if we're not doing movies 2 and 3, then like, fuck that story. Who cares? But in this case, yeah, like, I think that's how they kind of paid homage to that, is by putting a fucking human skull in this motherfucker. It was like, that's fucking disturbing. Because it's like a bear's body and then like its bear skull. Like, not bear skull, but like, there's no fur or skin. It's just like
on the skull. Like, the nose doesn't do what a bear skull would do. Mm-hmm. And the teeth are all wrong.
Yeah. Again, it's like where whatever is trying to like duplicate life here didn't get it right. And that's kind of like the thing. It's like, there's a lot of stuff that is close, but it's just not right. Like, we saw some deer at one point and they all had like flowers growing out of their antlers.
Yeah. It was like tree branches, it looked like.
Mm-hmm. So we get a really good look at this bear. One of my favorite scenes, just really cool practical effects with the bear skull.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking gnarly. It's pretty close.
Yeah, I just shared a picture of a bear skull. Because it's pretty close. It's obviously messed up because of mutation and stuff. But the human skull on the side, that ain't supposed to be there.
No, not at all. And they add the teeth. You can see like the one row of normal bear teeth, but then there's the human teeth right behind it. There's the two rows of teeth. It's gnarly. Again, I feel bad for my wife or whoever's going to look at this Discord chat in the morning and see these pictures of all these fucked up animals and skulls and shit.
Happy October.
Yeah. And then the bear like attacks the paramedic goes outside, or the EMT or whatever she is. She goes outside, you know, we assume she's dead. She comes back in, she's all fucking bloodied, and she like wildly shoots, like, I guess a person who doesn't have much training would,
or also someone who's bleeding from the neck and shot from being mauled by a
monster bear.
Yes, eldritch like soul fuck demon bear.
And grabs its attention and it just goes over and mauls her. And I literally was watching that and all I could think of was The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio. And I was just like in my head, like, which bear mauling was better? Cause this one was just about as brutal.
It was.
Yeah. And then it goes after Natalie Portman's character and then is put down by Tessa Thompson's character, who just, I mean, that many rounds through the skull, like, and it's still trying to like stand up. Mm-hmm. After that, it was just like, dude, half your head's gone. Get out of here. Yeah,
it was terrifying. Was
wild.
Yeah, it was a wild scene, and it's kind of funny that immediately, who is it? Jennifer Jason Leigh, Dr. Ventress's character, gets up and she's like, well, all right, gotta go to the lighthouse. See you guys later. Just like stuff happens.
Yeah, I'm gone. Bye. I'm done. Which, you know, fair. Her sole purpose is to go to the lighthouse. That's all she wants to do. And she makes sure that she goes and does that. And she just pieces the fuck out. And then not long, and I wish we had gotten to see more of this, and I wish, and I don't know, maybe I looked away and I did miss it. But so at this point, it's just, Tessa Thompson and Natalie Portman and Tessa's character is like, well, I'm changing essentially. Like, you can see it in her arms. She has like one part of her character's backstory is that I guess she's trying to kill herself. She's got is Lisa Cutter. She's got a bunch of scars on her arms. And you can see things starting to sprout out of her arms.
Mm-hmm.
And then like she walks, she's like, all right, you know, I'm going to leave now, or whatever she says. And she's like walking. And as she's walking away, you start to see more and more of these like branches essentially start sprouting out of her arms and her back and her neck. And then Natalie Portman's trying to catch up with her and she just disappears. You know, we just see her like walk around a tree and then she's just gone. And it's like, I wish we could have not like necessarily seen her go through the agony of transforming into a tree, but I wish we could have seen the tree. Mm-hmm. Seeing what would have happened, what she became.
I want to make an off color joke, but I'm gonna bite my tongue. Just let it be known it happened once. Never again.
Okay. And yeah, and then not long after we kind of get to the end of the movie where we learn more about like the whatever this is, this alien virus life form or whatever that it is that it duplicates people. Mm-hmm. We find another tape and it's Oscar Isaac's character and he's talking, it seems like, to the camera. But he's talking to what I guess his doppelganger on the other side. He blows himself up, burns himself alive.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the other one.
Phosphorus.
Yeah, then not long after that, Natalie Portman comes into contact with her version of herself. And that is when, I mean, yeah, it got trippy as shit. That was when we entered into, like, an alien movie, and it looked like we were, like, in a Geiger painting. Just, like, the slithering wet walls. Like, it just got really weird. The moving and the soundtrack walls. Got weird.
What's her name's vomits color and turns into a jet engine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Avengers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am not exaggerating. That is what happens in that scene.
Mm-hmm. It was like a scene out of Fantasia. So much color.
Yeah, it was wild.
I want to know what drugs they got and where they got them. Because that scene behind was the scenes. Wild.
Mm-hmm. Now Ryan keeps talking about this behind the scenes thing. I guess I'll have to go watch it.
Cool. There's a lot of cool stuff in it.
Yeah. And the movie ends in a way. I don't want to like necessarily spoil it, but you know where it kind of ends on that note is Natalie Portman's character at the end of the movie, the one that we saw being interrogated throughout. Is it her? Is it the doppelganger? Is it just her that's been altered by being in Area X? I mean, we learn that the husband that came back is not her husband. Mm-hmm. It is the doppelganger. It is whatever was living in Area X that has made a copy of him. But it's kind of left open. I mean, it felt like with what we saw that it was not the doppelganger of Natalie Portman. I think we all kind of agree that it was just maybe she's just been altered by having been there and her DNA changed, but like she's not a copy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
Can I note something that I don't know if you guys noticed?
No way.
The tattoo?
No. No. Dealing with the husband.
Mm-hmm.
In the video, the one that blows himself up has a thick southern accent.
I was gonna bring that up. Yes. I didn't know if I couldn't remember if Oscar Isaacs had that accent or affectation earlier in the movie, but I couldn't remember.
He did not.
He doesn't.
Okay. So that was one of the other soldiers. Okay. So that was not Oscar Isaacs' double at the end. It was just one of the other dudes.
Which kind of goes along with the whole tattoo thing that I pointed out earlier. At the end of the movie, when Natalie Portman is being interrogated throughout the movie, you see Lemniscate, an infinity symbol, tattooed on her forearm. At the beginning, or in the flashbacks, Natalie Portman does not have that tattoo. And then while they're in Area X, that tattoo belongs to Gina Rodriguez's character. And then Natalie Portman has it after she leaves Area X. So that kind of goes along with they're kind of blending together inside Area X. So yeah, I could see that.
So There you go. You'll have to go watch this movie and let us know what you think. Not just of the movie, but also, yeah, like, I mean, having read the book, like, and knowing in the book that it's not her, like, I feel like they're really trying to, like, lead people to think that it's not her and it's not him, but they're never super specific. You know, they kind of skirt the edges on a lot of that stuff about whether or not, you know, and I think they leave it up to audience interpretation, and which, you know, again, makes it enjoyable. That's why we keep talking about it, because you have them blending together and then, like, it not getting the variations right. I mean, again, with the, see that in the animals and the plant life and stuff, where things are not quite the way they're supposed to be. There's a whole, like, in the town that they go to that has been evacuated, there's, like, plants growing in the shape of people because the DNA has been taken from people, and, like, the part that tells your body how to grow a specific way has been passed on to these plants. So these plants are literally growing in the shape of people. And so, like, yeah, just, are they blending? Like, did she get a tattoo because one of the members of her team had the tattoo? Did that, like, somehow her DNA change that somehow, or the change made through that process, or is it the doppelganger not getting it? You know what I mean? Like, there's that sort of questions about it too. Just did.
There's a lot.
Yeah, because getting a DNA or getting a tattoo doesn't fuck up your DNA. You know what I mean?
No,
like, you would be like clean. But it is also
Tessa Thompson's character did say, or she, you know, posited that the field around Area X or whatever's going on there is refracting the radio waves and the light waves, and then she talks about the DNA, but it could also be refracting and changing other aspects aside from DNA.
Well, because a point that's made in the book is that, like, they have their memories up until a point. And they may not have all of them, but they have a number of them. That's, like, why he returned home, is that he knows that that's home, and he knows that that's her when he sees her. But he still asks if it hurts. If it, at one point where he's like, are you, whatever her name, I forgot her name again.
Lena.
Tessa.
Lena. Yeah. Are you Lena? You know, like, they have the memories and they have, like, the certain core aspects of those people. But, like, so obviously that's not baked into your DNA either. There may be some of that that is, you know, but some of it may, I don't know, like how birds always return, you know, they south for the winter. You know what I mean? Like, there's that sort of stuff that ancestral DNA stuff, but that, I don't know if that counts for, like, you know, knowing who your wife is.
Well, also, though, in that video before he used the white phosphorus on himself, or at least that person, he said something about Lena. He said, like, tell my wife Lena I love her, or something like that. So maybe him asking if
you're... Make sure you go find... You're going to go find her, right?
Find, yeah. Lena.
Yeah, so maybe when he asked, are you Lena, maybe that's what he... Like, maybe he literally just doesn't have any memories. He just doesn't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's, like I said, they leave so much open to interpretation of this.
Yeah. So let's talk about overall thoughts. I mean, what do people think of it? I mean, I know Daniel, Brendan, and Ryan have all seen it before, so that's about most of us.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not seen it before, and I don't think Kev has either.
No. You know, I kind of remember this. Debbie watched it, and I think I either walked in a bunch or at least caught certain scenes, because I remember a few things about this movie, but I definitely didn't overall watch it before. I enjoyed it a lot. I loved the practical effects that were in this, along with the filming style, just the colors being used. It was actually a very visually beautiful movie, despite, you know, being like a sci-fi kind of horror movie. I enjoyed it. I'm a dumb dude. I'll say there was some stuff that probably went over my head a lot of the times. But it is a movie you want to watch a few extra times to kind of catch everything and kind of piece things together throughout, especially if you haven't read the books before. So but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was it's a great kickoff to Horror Fest too. So it's just, it's kind of like one of those things you like most of the time you're just trying to figure out what the fuck is going on.
I hope Disney Plus picks it up for a TV show.
Please no.
I was waiting for the after credits sequence, man. There was no Thor. There was no Thor. Yeah, there's no like Cap, you know, Cap didn't even show up, like, you know, coming through an alternate portal. Nothing, man. That was a little bit disappointing.
No Doctor Strange.
Right, and Wong was right there.
Wong was right there. Do you have a score for it?
My personal score, man, I got to go. You know, we're bringing back the traditional table of scores here. A 5, I assume out of 5, yes?
Sure.
Okay. What's that?
I have mine written as out of 10, but I can do it. I can change that to out of.
Yeah, it's all arbitrary. We know what we're. Yeah. But I have to, after watching this movie for the first time, and once again, not really knowing anything about this going into it, man, I was really impressed. It did capture me for a good portion of the, like a good portion of the movie, which most movies can't. I got to give this one 4 out of 5 human screaming bears. Good kickoff.
Anyone else want to go?
I mean, you haven't seen it, so you should probably go next.
Okay. I agree. This is a movie that Caleb has been telling me to watch. Real Caleb, not Daniel Caleb. Caleb's been telling me to watch forever. And about 4-5 months ago, I was asking for book recommendations, and he said, read the books. So I picked those up, and I read them over the summer. And I hadn't gotten a chance to watch the movie yet. Every time I try to watch it or I suggest watching it, Caleb's always like, "We gotta watch it with me." And then guess who didn't fucking show up tonight?
He's right here. So, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so, thanks. Makes me feel seen.
That was good. That was accurate.
But I'm glad we did watch it. I think it fits into our like Lovecraftian sort of theme of this year in our movies. I definitely felt that way reading the books more than watching the movie, I would say. The tone of the books, especially the first one, really felt like it could have just been like Color Out of Space. Like it felt like I was reading that book by Lovecraft. But the movie also kind of reminded me of Color Out of Space, the movie, and the color palette that was used with like the pinks and purples and blues and stuff that were really bright and vibrant.
Yeah, I see that.
And when the weird animal grossness, I just reminded of the pack of alpacas that look like they've been thrown into a microwave together from Color Out of Space. The practical effects were phenomenal. Again, I'm going to go watch the behind the scenes because I want to see the bear and I want to see how they did these things. I love behind the scenes stuff for that, just to see how they make these fucking awesome looking effects.
Mm-hmm.
There's again, I think having read the book, watching the movie, I don't want to say disappointed. There's just a lot of the story that wasn't there that I felt like could have been there or should have been there to explain some of the stuff. I wish they hadn't like rushed the, like, "Well, we're leaving in 6 days." Like, you don't need any training or anything. You know what I mean? Like, there's stuff like that where it's like,
oh, it needs character development.
Yeah, let him be there. Well, let him be there for like a little bit longer just to get in, you know. Because even after 6 months, they talk about how they don't really know each other. So, like, that, if you just want to rush it and say 6 days instead, to have that feel where like they don't really know each other, they don't really trust each other for, you know, those core moments, that's whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
So for that reason, and I've got to change because I was going to do the Skelly Bears as part of my thing.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I give it 3.5. Oh, fuck. Slithering intestines out of 5. 3.5 slithering intestines out of 5.
Yum.
Yeah, I liked it. And I definitely want to watch it again just to, again, pick up the things I missed. Mm-hmm. That's the first viewing. Now the people have seen it before. Did you guys notice anything you hadn't noticed before?
just a couple little random things here and there. It's that, like, this is probably the third time I've seen this movie. But I always watch it late at night, sleepy, half paying attention with friends. So it was the first time I was very attentive. This time I was also as attentive. So I definitely picked up on things. I was looking for the tattoo thing this time because we noticed it last time, talked about it with Brendan the last time we watched it. I just wish that it either had more runtime or could have been developed into multiple movies or a limited series, just because I feel like there's so much more that could have been discussed and talked about. It almost felt like the ambiguity was covering for lack of budget, lack of writing, etc. But I still loved it. Like, I can't take away from the movie on that. Four out of five gator Dell teeth. Sharkadile teeth.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Anyone else?
Ryan? Yeah.
B? I mean, I'll go.
All right.
I agree with Kev that it is a visually stunning movie. Y'all know that I don't typically go in for horror.
No.
Just in general.
It's surprising. It surprised me when you said that, one, you'd watched it, and two, that you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. I was surprised, me too. it's weird because I also really enjoyed Color Out of Space.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I enjoy cosmic horror, but most other stuff I just can't really get behind. But yeah, I again really enjoyed this movie, and I would probably give it 4 out of 5 glowing pulsating entities.
Okay, hell yeah.
That just leaves me, right?
Yeah, you just wrap up with you, Ryan.
For me, it's like one of my favorite movies. Having watched like the behind the scenes and seeing it a few times and kind of getting hints on like the metaphor of the plot for both the movie and the book and stuff, like subsequent viewings have been even better. Yeah, for me, it's like 2 thumbs I don't have way up.
Goddamn.
I don't know.
Bravo.
You broke the thing.
You broke the scale.
You broke the scale, Ryan.
Yep. Yep. I love the movie. I love the books, too. It's really good.
There you go. And there it is.
We did it. We're back.
We did it. We're back for this. Jer could not join us this evening. We're going to try and put the pressure. I'm just kidding. We're not going to pressure him to do anything. But you know, let him know. You can let him know that you missed him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd love to hear from everybody. We have more movies to review this month for 8-Bit Horror Fest. I guess we could talk about what some of them are. I've already forgotten. Oh, Underwater.
We have, yeah.
Which is apparently a Lovecraftian sort of movie. And it's got What's-Her-Face in it from Twilight. Kristen Stewart,
too. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And apparently, I guess T.J. Miller also, which that's interesting. I haven't seen him in a while.
I think that must have been filmed right before he...
It's a 2020 movie.
When did all the stuff happen with him?
Like 2017,
2018?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. And then we've got In the Mouth of Madness, which is...
That's a classic.
Yeah, about as Lovecraftian as you can get. I mean, it's based on the Mountain of Madness. What else? There's one more that we...
Glorious.
Glorious.
J.K. Simmons.
I know nothing about it other than it's got J.K. Simmons in it.
Is this a new one?
It's a new movie, yeah.
Yeah. A heartbroken man finds himself trapped in a bathroom with a strange voice who says he may be the only hope in stopping a terrible event. Great.
it's a really absurd movie.
Oh, we're not going to do a Reanimator?
No, if we So we've talked about, like, if depending on when we release these, if we release these on Mondays, which, so if we release this tomorrow, we have 5 Mondays to leave, like, on Halloween. So we could potentially do Reanimator.
I'll pass on that one. Thanks, though.
What are you talking about, bud?
It's so
talk about a horrible movie.
Oh, it's so bad. I love it, though.
We don't have to do that one sober.
Yeah. I mean, not every movie has to be a banger. We can make fun of movies, too.
Oh, yeah. And Reanimator is definitely one to be made fun of. I mean, it is a classic. It is...
But it's campy. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's campy. It's just...
Bad acting.
Bad acting. Great gore, though.
Yes.
Dated as fuck.
Dated as fuck.
Hella. Yeah.
But, I mean, God, you watched that Peter Jackson movie with us a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, of course. Love that movie.
Dead Alive?
Brain Dead, Dead Alive, whichever title you know by. Yeah, I mean, you watch that, it's the same thing. But... Not.
But one guy went on to go direct Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but one guy went on to direct Lord of the Rings.
Beloved movie King Kong.
All right, well, we should probably wrap up. We've hit the 50-minute mark, 51 minutes, yeah.
There you go.
That's we a did review.
It. Horrorfest 2022 in the bag. Well, the first one. All right. Well, until next week, I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Brendan.
I'm Caleb.
No, you're not.
me, Ryan.
And all the love hugs and all that bullshit.
You can't say that. That's not your line.
Oh,
how dare you?
Well,
how dare you? How dare you?
Okay,
then you TM.
We'll get a sound bite. We'll get, Audio Jungle.
No, now we owe them $50.
Not again. Get your wallets out.